Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's Jason Manford here. I am very much like you, stuffing my face with mince pies, drinking the rest of the book's fizz and so on. So please don't text in. I've handpicked some of my favourite bits of the last 12 months. Have a listen. And have a laugh.
Steve Edge is here, and we've also been joined by the wonderful Catherine Tate.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Nice to see you on this
thank
Sunday
you very
morning.
Much on this Sunday. Bright and early for me on a Sunday
this
morning.
This is bright and early for all of us.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, even with kids, we're so. Oh, yeah. Sundays. Yeah. Yeah. Sunday's a day of rest.
It's a sacred space, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it definitely is. We have been chatting about seeing celebrities on holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Just random people you've seen out and about. Phil from Croydon says, we saw Kim Kardashian and Kanye West having a tour of the penguin enclosure at San Diego Zoo.
Hey.
That's the yeah, sort of stuff we're
nice.
After this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, there we
that's
go.
Gone up a level now,
we've not,
it?
Well, we've not hit
let's
the
bring
dizzy
it back down.
Which one? What, Roger Moore at the toilets at Caesar's Palace?
That's good.
That's a good one. That's pretty good.
I had cannonball eating breakfast at a Little Chef in Cornwall.
That's what we're after. That's the goal.
It's more the level.
That's the goal.
Really, no, just
that's
silence.
That's where the comedy is.
Just silence. Beans scraping.
And I also asked for questions as well for Catherine, if you've got anything. Christine Price asks, is the Nan character based on anyone that you know?
I would say it's an amalgamation of a lot of old ladies that I grew up with.
Okay.
Yeah, not specifically. It's definitely not my nan. And my mum gets, even now my mum says, you mustn't do that because nanny, people think it's nanny. And nanny wouldn't swear like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. We like to pretend.
Yes, I've got, out of my two nanas, one of them, I mean, she was Irish, so she was. It was very much part of her lexicon.
Yeah.
So she was a big swearer. But my other nan, never. Never
really
to a point where she'd say, I thought it was bloody rubbish. You know,
oh,
she
really?
Would sort of mouth
yeah.
those
yeah.
sort of words,
yeah.
bless
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
And Vicky says, ask Catherine, what was it like doing the hilarious sketch with George Michael?
Ah, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful. He was such a, well, he was a laugh. You know, he loved comedy and he was brilliant. But I remember doing the show on the night in a live audience at the BBC, and of course we wanted to reveal it as a surprise,
right?
And you know, it's like you're, it's very difficult to replicate the magic that happens in a studio on TV.
Yes.
And so obviously what we had to do, we had to cut quite and edit out quite a lot of the reactions, simply because
it was
went
so crazy.
On so yeah.
wow.
so long and
yeah.
so massive. When we it was set in a hospital ward, and you know, all you could do was hear someone's voice first, and then I'd pull the screen across and it was him. And honestly, it took about 7 minutes.
Because,
of course, you can't do that on the TV because people at home be going, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that frustrating thing, isn't it, about doing comedy? You know, you've had it as well, Steve, where people think you add reactions
yes,
and
I
laughter
know,
to stuff.
No, you don't. You're
you go,
just,
actually, I'm taking it away.
I'm taking it away so that it doesn't sound fake. It's crazy. I know.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Is that the... You obviously have worked with some brilliant people over the years. That must have been one of your highlights.
It was absolutely a highlight. It's a shame we didn't have a live audience when I did Tony Blair.
Yes.
That would have been a good one.
That would have been 7 minutes
piled
reaction.
Everyone into Downing
yeah.
Street.
Well,
but he was a really good
that
sport
was
as well.
I've got to say, that was... When that... It was so surprising.
I know, yeah.
Because that's the thing about comedy,
yeah.
isn't it? It's about being surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, when he said, am I bothered? Like,
I know.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. In fact, I was on a flight the other day and there was like top 20 comic relief moments.
Oh,
yeah. And it's on one of them.
Oh,
and it's still
cute.
So funny.
Oh, good.
Really
good.
Funny.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that you have tried to get on that you've not managed yet?
No, there isn't actually.
No.
But, you know, the thing is, you as brilliant as it is, when you don't want to do it too much, do you?
Yes.
That kind of stunty thing, because you just there's quite a lot of pressure on it. I think there's a lot of pressure for them, and there's a lot of pressure for you. You know what I mean? Because it can throw it slightly, can't it?
Yeah.
I think so. I am a bit wary of not.
I actually it's just popped into my head. I did a show with Sally Phillips a little while back on Gold. It was called My Favourite Sketch.
Yes.
And one of the sketches I put on there was your sketch with Kathy Burke. When she comes on, and oh, it is so funny.
Oh, thank you.
And I
yes.
put that in there on my favourite sketch.
Oh,
yeah, it was
thank
really
you,
so.
Thank you.
She's wonderful.
Fantastic, isn't she?
We've been trying to get her on this show for about 2 years, yeah. but she's hard to get hold of.
Yeah,
she's a difficult one. What I need her to do is a show in the West End.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Adds 2 weeks suddenly.
Yes, and then she'll be knocking at your door.
Danielle asks Catherine, she says, very excited to see Catherine's show on Tuesday.
Oh, thank you.
Heard somewhere that there might be a Nan film in the pipeline. Is that true?
There is one in the pipeline.
Is there really?
True, yes.
That'd be amazing. I'd love the sound of that.
Yeah, that is good fun. But yeah, no, I'm thinking of doing that, yeah.
Oh, look at that. Danielle's got a finger on the pulse.
She has,
hasn't
she?
I didn't even know that from all my Googling. Impressive. So Danielle is going to see the Catherine Tate Show live at Wyndham's Theatre on Tuesday. Lots of questions, of course, invariably when you come on a show, around Doctor Who.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes,
Richard Voicey says, was Catherine worried about being cast in Doctor Who with people assuming that you might be a comedy sidekick?
No, I wasn't worried because I knew that Russell's writing was... far more complicated and brilliant than to just make me a punchline.
Yes.
And obviously he delivered that in spades. And I absolutely loved it. I kind of just jumped into Doctor Who blindly and thinking, oh, this will be an adventure.
Because you
I didn't watch it. No, I'd not watched any of it. In fact, funnily enough, the only episode I'd actually caught was, and I don't know if you do know Doctor Who, but there was an episode with Rose, which is Billy's character, Billy Piper's character, and it had actually gone back to the 80s in the episode with when they relaunched it with Chris Eccleston. And I turned it on and the episode had gone back to the 80s when the character was supposed to be a child, so it was like a period piece. But I didn't know that, and I've turned it on and I thought, well, it's exactly the same. The production values haven't changed. It's exactly the same as when I used to watch it. This is shocking. And I remember thinking, I'm going to go into something and they're going to, like the Daleks will be made out of tinfoil and things like that. And that was the only thing I'd known about it. But of course, I was a massive fan of David's, even though I'd never met him before we started working. And it was, you know, it was a real game changer, actually, in my life, Doctor Who, because I got to meet these wonderful people and other things came of it. I absolutely loved it. I mean, it doesn't make me a sci-fi aficionado. I still don't know what goes on.
Right.
And I wasn't quite aware of what was going on.
Do you turn up at don't they have like...
Well, do you know what? I didn't know... Well, I
events.
Knew about conventions like Comic-Con and things like that.
Yeah.
I knew about them, and I'd never done them. I think I'd done one once, and then I thought, oh, then that was it. And as far as I knew, they'd never invited me, but I think they had been invited.
No.
But I don't think it got through.
Got through the channel.
She won't fancy it.
I was never told. And then last year, John Barrowman... through strange alchemy, I got back in touch with John Barrowman, and he said to me, why aren't you doing the convention? Why don't you come and meet the fans? And I said, well, I don't think anyone would ever remember me now. And he said, let's come out and see. So he took me out to America, and
They do remember.
There's a massive following for the show. And
is there people dressed up as you?
Yes, that's the strange thing. But of course, when I first went out there, I didn't remember what I was wearing. And they'll go, do you know who I am? And I'm like, And they're like, I'm you. And I'm like, oh, yes, I did wear a wedding dress. You're right. So it's great fun.
Yeah.
And it's really, it is. It's it, yeah, it really is. It's,
well,
it's
Richard, Richard agrees with you, who asked the question. He says, I thought you were wonderful. You acted your socks off, became one of the all-time great companions.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to watch her as Donna and hear her at the Audio Adventures.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're good. David and I did some more of that.
So what's that?
Well, it's Big Finish, and they kind of take the world on and continue it so that there's still adventures of myself and David Tennant with the Doctor and Donna. And then they're actually going to do one, the Donna Noble adventures, where I just go off on my own, you know, so you can everything's kind of
so
like...
So they're just audio on
they're
Audible
They're just audio
like
their
that.
Plays, yeah.
Right.
From the Big Finish. And so, and everyone, you know, I think there's Rose and the Doctor, there's, you know...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're all sort of like in their own
How
universe.
Do people find those? They're just on the internet somewhere.
I would imagine.
I'll just Google it.
Google it.
Google is your friends.
And I definitely know they're from Big Finish. And I
right,
don't know.
There you
I
go.
Think they're like, I think you get them in like audio CDs or you can probably download them now. That's what
Listen to
that's
you.
What seems to happen.
Audible or something like
Audible.
That.
Audible. There's
right.
definitely no vision.
Yeah.
Okay.
You definitely don't
Big
see
finish.
Me.
Yes. Well,
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Our text subject has gone meta, Steve. It's gone
meta,
like in on itself,
oh, okay.
if you will. Liz and Steve says we saw Steve Edge having a coffee outside a bar in Albeer in Benidorm. Is that Benidorm? That's
yeah,
that
Albeer
sort of
is just outside.
Didn't want to bother him and draw attention to him. Did we do the right thing?
Yeah, well that's nice. Just said hello.
Could have said
coffee.
Hello.
Coffee.
Oh,
in Albeer.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, no. No yeah, that's, yeah, that'll
this
be,
was
that'll
in
be Dorigen. Yeah,
did it have milk in it that time?
Yeah, it was called a latte macchiato.
Oh, lovely. Oh. I tell you what.
Wait till February.
I know, yeah.
Wait till February.
Yeah. I mean, what is it?
He's got a bath in milk.
Days or something.
Yeah.
It's all his milk. Because he forgot
there.
To cancel the milk, so
yeah,
he's got
26 bottles in the fridge. I keep trying to get my 2-year-old to, do you want some more milk? I thought, I'm all right. Come on. You're a kid.
I tell you who likes an holiday. Duncan Goodhue. He's been spotted all over the place.
Everywhere.
Minehead Butlins in the 80s.
Minehead.
There's another one.
Somebody saw David Bowie at Centre Parks before you got here. David Bowie at Centre Parks in Nottingham.
Wow.
Sherwood Forest.
I was in the swimming pool at Centre Parks when my kids were younger, and someone waded across in the swimming pool with a soggy bit of paper and a pen for it. Because then it was like less selfies than
yes,
about 10 years ago. But yeah, you think, I mean, I'll
what
be,
you, doing
you know where I am,
I
and I'll be out of the pool
that's
soon.
My towel.
Yeah, I like the swimming thing because, like you said, no one's got a camera on them, so you sort of you're fine.
And Duncan, could you not spotted in a swimming pool yet? Weirdly.
No,
busman's holiday.
Yeah.
I'm not getting in there. Tim Saxby's asked Catherine. He says, "Have you seen any of the new episodes of Doctor Who with Jodie?"
I haven't yet,
no.
Only because I won't understand them.
Yes,
and it makes me feel inferior. But I know she's. Brilliant, because
she
she's
brilliant.
Fantastic.
He says, is there ever a chance we could see Donna return?
It wouldn't be up to me, because you can't just turn up on the set uninvited.
What, even in
they
the outfit?
They don't like it.
Anyone got signs?
Even with my wedding dress.
Yeah, with the wedding. Where's the AD?
But that would be nice.
How do you say that?
You've
not tried
it.
I
haven't
it.
Tried. Because probably all the security still remember me. So.
Of course, your passport still works.
Yeah.
Get yourself in there. Absolutely. Another one on Twitter was, what was the best part of being Donna in Doctor Who, and was it as much fun as you made it look?
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Honestly, it was a real dream job. And I'm
How did it
I'm
come
so
about
fun.
Then? How...
It just, I got a message to say, Russell has written a part for you in a Christmas special, would you do it? And I said, in the Doctor Who Christmas special, and I said, absolutely, I didn't want to see a script because I just thought, what a great thing, you know, as if, you know, I didn't want to know what it was or anything like that. And I remember kind of like flicking through the script, and at one point it said, Donna is suspended in a wedding dress high on a ceiling in a giant spider's web. And I thought, well, I'll have a, go at this.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so it just went from
well,
there.
Well, it's Russell as well, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
It'd
was
be like
Russell,
someone asking, can I see Macbeth before it's finished?
Yeah.
And, like, he's a genius.
It was just even... Yeah, I didn't even know what the part was. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know if it was a big part. Didn't know if it was a little part. I just thought, how wonderful to be included in that, to be working with David. And I knew the team were fantastic, Julie Gardner and Phil Collinson. I just thought it was all brilliant. What a great idea, I thought. Had no idea I was going to come back, and I just
brilliant.
Jumped in. Yeah.
What a treat. And now you'll be doing conventions for the next 50 years.
And now that's my pension.
Just sat in a wedding dress in the corner. Well, she come around,
like
didn't
Mrs.
she?
Mrs. Havisham, and that'll be me.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music
Matters.
This morning we're talking breakfasts, and Bev has rang. She's from Wales. And we were talking what the Welsh do differently to their full breakfast. Is it actually just a full English, or do they have their own special twist to it? Bev, tell us what makes a Welsh breakfast different from the full English.
Well, we do have the usual things, sausage, bacon, egg, but we also have cockles and lava bread.
What? Cockles?
Mm-hmm.
Like the fish?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, the shellfish cockles, and we have lava bread.
In the shell? Or have they taken them out?
No, they're usually out of the shell.
Are they like pickled?
Fried.
Oh, no, fried.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is it lava bread?
Lava bread. I think that's seaweed. Is that seaweed?
Yeah, seaweed, yeah.
It feels like somebody in Wales panicked. That's what it feels like. They went, we can't sell a full English here, people go mad.
Just pick something up.
Just grab whatever you can find.
Yeah, I know it's bad coming from a Scottish person, but yeah. That sounds absolutely bogging. I'll not be ordering a
What have you added? I found some cockles, Jeff, and I made some bread out of seaweed. Is that different enough? That's crazy. I mean, I'm happy to try it, but...
Are you?
No.
No,
I'm not. Jason. Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters. Deliso Chaponda is my guest this morning.
Yes, I am.
I wanted to talk about this, right? I was chatting to my mum the other day, and she reminded me of a moment when I was a child where... Because we were poor, Deliso. Okay. We were very poor. And in South Manchester. And but of course, at the time, it's hard to be poor when you're a kid, because other kids, even though they were also poor, now when I look back, they seem to just have more things than us. Obviously, their parents had prioritised different things. You know, they got the right trainers, or yes, they had a telly or a car or a dad or whatever. And when I look back, I think, crikey, yeah, my parents didn't bother about those things. So, for example, my mum told me about a time when we got like a pair of trainers from the supermarket. They were like two-stripe trainers, right? From like Quicksave or something. I don't know where they were from. They must have been about £8. They were awful. Really uncomfortable. Fell apart. Melted in the water. And what she'd done, because I was so embarrassed at school, was painted with a bit of like Tippex an extra stripe.
Oh, no.
On the side of the trainer. Oh. So it had three like-year-old Adidas. As if the kid... I mean, it's almost worse.
Yeah, it's worse.
Well, it is worse.
It's going to wash off.
It's going to wash off. The kids in class are going to go, oh, have you got a... Hang on a minute. I sort of like this idea, this sort of keeping up with the Joneses, sort of yes, moments where you pretend you've gone a bit higher end than you have.
I pretended that I knew about classical music when I knew nothing when I was around posh people. And it's very hard to fake information, and it quickly becomes apparent that you're blagging it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think we do. I think a lot of us do that, don't they? Just sort of pretend that you're doing stuff. But you did that just to sort of feel...
Because you want to be part of the...
Of course. You don't want to get left out, do you? The amount of times I'm like, somebody says... Yes, and so-and-so did this. Do you know that person? I just go, yeah.
Yeah?
I'll never say, never heard of him, ever. Rachel says, I put cheap coffee in my husband's coffee jar. He only drinks a certain brand. He's still not twigged. People are very snobby about when it comes to food, aren't they?
Yes.
About own brands. But by all accounts, a lot of these own brands are made by, your Kellogg's.
In the same factory sometimes.
Your hands of this world, yeah. Nikki says, when Sky first started, a mate made a satellite dish from a bin lid, tinfoil, some sticks and a cigarette box, just so he looked like he had Sky Telly from the outside. I like that. Kim says, cheap ketchup siphoned into Heinz ketchup bottle.
Oh, and that's not even saving that much money.
I mean, how much are you saving then? Come on.
The amount of effort.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Lisa... put a deck chair in the shed so we've got a summer house. I mean, you sort of have, haven't you?
You sort of do.
Absolutely you have. Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. Deliso Chaponda's my guest. You might see him do very well. Where did you finish in Britain's Got Talent?
Third.
And who beat you?
A very talented little kid who is a magician called Izzy.
Right.
And a brilliant musician called Tokyo Myers.
Yeah. Where are they now, though?
Exactly.
They're not here, are they? Huh? Not here, son. You're the nation's winner. I mean, you weren't.
With that quarter of £1 million. Yeah.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts. It still hurts.
I forgot about that bit. Oh, God. I mean, what's a 7-year-old going to do with £250,000?
I know.
Oh, well. You know, no, there's nothing I can say. I was going to say it's a taking part. Nothing. There's nothing you can say. So we're talking this morning about keeping up with the Joneses. Have you ever faked something to sort of keep up with everybody else? Alan's on the line. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Jason.
Morning, pal. Where are you calling from, pal?
Sunny Gatley near Stockport.
Oh, very nice. You don't sound like you're from Gatley.
No, originally down south. Moved up with work.
Oh, fair enough. So, Alan, what's your story?
Well, like many of us, you nip into Aldi for a pint of milk and some bread, and rather than walking out with a chainsaw, I saw a few discounted apple trees in the middle aisle. So I thought, I've got a bit of spare space at home.
Yeah.
You never know, they might grow. So get home, plant them in a row, and lo and behold, I now have an orchard.
Is that right?
That is, because unbeknown to me, as was checked by my colleagues on Google at work in their disbelief, 5 apple trees in a row, or 5 apple trees together, equals an orchard.
Is that that's the classification?
That's the number.
5.
So all you need to do, get down to Aldi or other stores are available, pick up 5 apple trees, and you can now have your very own orchard.
Is it worth visiting your orchard? Is it a beautiful sight?
It's just a small strip of land next to some wheelie bins.
Sounds beautiful. Sounds picturesque.
But it has produced a crop of apples, which has been tested by my colleagues at work with much approval.
Oh, lovely. Well, that's all you want out of an apple tree. It's done its job.
It has indeed. And this year, the crop is already appearing.
Lovely stuff. Well, I'll, when I'm driving through Gatley next on the way home, I'll keep an eye out for...
keep an eye out for the magic orchard, yes.
Alan's orchard. Nice one. Cheers, pal. Have a good day.
You take care. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Morning, Jason Manford here. Hope you're very well this Sunday morning. Well, not for us, obviously. What is it, Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
It's very confusing.
It is.
Pre-record things. I feel like a time.
I blame Brexit.
Yeah, it'll probably be Brexit's fault. So you're up in Northern Ireland doing something up here?
Yeah, I did the blame game. It's kind of a topical quiz.
And that's been going for us...
About a million years.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been going since I was still happy doing stand-up.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a long time now. No, it's kind of 2005, so it's kind of a topical show. You know, there's various ones in various countries.
When I was captain on 8 out of 10 Cats, this, which would have been about 2007.
Yeah.
It started then, it was going then, so crikey. And what's it about? What's it?
It's just basically about
just topical
whatever,
stuff.
Yeah, whatever's
going on. So yeah, similar to 8 or 10 Cats.
I suppose it's kind of focused on here, really. So that's the great thing. It doesn't compete with Have I Got News for You, because Have I Got News for You isn't going to talk about a bull in a local supermarket.
Yes,
or ATMs being pulled out of walls.
Right.
Using JCBs.
Okay.
Which comes up way more often than you would expect.
Wow, that's a specific crime.
That's a very common crime here.
JCB ATM?
Yes.
That's a lot of letters.
It is a lot of, well, they replaced the 3 letters that used to be here, like IRA and UDA, so I suppose it's good when it's JCBs. Like, I'm talking about 10 or 15 robberies last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not a subtle job, is it?
Oh, it's not. Do you know when you watch like The Inside Man and you're trying for that brilliant one on Netflix, the Spanish one?
They
go into the mint.
Like the detail of it, the blueprints.
The detail, the blueprints, and then they've got an inside man and they go through the sewers.
They go, right, so that guard leaves at 2 o'clock. We've got 4 minutes to get in.
And there's observation of like 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is more, steal a JCB, pull an ATM out of a wall, and then hope the cops can't catch you. So
that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm not a criminal, so it wouldn't cross my mind.
But now that it's been explained to you, are considering a retirement plan.
I just didn't realise ATMs were that. I don't know where I thought the money came from, but I thought it was further back.
You lack ambition.
I do.
You'd see an ATM and you go, I need a pin and a card.
Something, yeah.
No, think bigger. Think pull the entire thing out of the wall.
My worry would be your getaway car is a JCB. So again, you're not.
No, you burn it out. Ah, okay. You grab it, you pull it out. I can't believe I'm explaining this. You pull it back out of the wall.
Please don't do this, by the way.
No, of course, we're not condoning this. And what you do is you put it into, like, on the back of a flatbed lorry or a people carrier with the roof cut out.
And
then you burn out your JCB, which you have robbed.
Of course.
And then that's what you would do.
Well, it seems simple now you've said it.
You see, all the best
Look
ideas are.
You don't get this on Steve Wright Love Songs.
You don't.
How to steal an ATM. Please don't do that. Please don't blame me. I know it's Sunday and it's a day for hobbies, but please... Please don't make that.
I'm not sure that
thing.
Comes under hobbies.
Stick to scuba diving and fishing, please.
This is Jason Manford. This is Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
We're in Belfast. It's always hard to say Belfast without doing the patronising accent.
Well, knock yourself out. I'm from Dublin.
I know you don't.
I live
care.
In Dublin, so.
But there's
go
certain
on, give
places.
It a go. Give it a go.
Belfast.
That's pretty good.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can probably do it, I imagine. You're very good at accents.
Oh, I can do Belfast. Yeah. But if I said Manchester, is that annoying to you?
No, it doesn't bother me, really. But yeah, I do get people do my accent back at me. Manchester, Liverpool, like you can't.
You know what's really entertaining? If you go to Birmingham and tell people there that you think the Peaky Blinders accents in it are brilliant. Oh, they go mental.
Yeah, they're not a fan.
They're not happy with that at all.
That's one accent I'm really not good at. I can't do any Midlands accents.
Well,
a tough place.
This is the thing that ruins millions of films.
Yes.
Is really terrible Irish accents in particular.
Well, yes, there is
like
that.
Like, far and away, Tom Cruise, it's somewhere between the mid-Atlantic and a stroke.
Yeah, it's not right, is it? The worst accent that spoiled a show for me was actually the Northern Irish accent, and it was...
Sons of Anarchy.
No way! How did you know that? Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
It's terrible.
It's awful.
Oh, God, yeah.
Awful.
It's one of the funniest...
I stopped watching it because
they go to Northern Ireland, don't they, for one series.
Yeah.
And then there's clearly a shot above them, and there's people riding motorbikes in Northern Ireland, and then it cuts them on the ground, and there's, like, Joshua trees and cactuses in the background. Yeah,
it is the worst accent ever.
Titus Welliver.
Awful.
Is the actor.
Yes, that's right. It is him, yeah. Because you can sort of get away with it. Like, I remember Daphne in Frasier that accent used to annoy me slightly.
So she was meant to be from Manchester.
She was supposed to be from Manchester,
is from Essex, I think.
Yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah.
So and then John O'Mahony, who was the dad,
actually
is from Manchester.
Was
from Manchester.
Yeah, yeah. But there's like certain places that I've noticed it when you go around the country, like Burnley, you have to just do their accent back at them. I don't know what it is
about
that.
And do they mind that or do they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it really annoys them.
Yeah. I like the way you've done it for years.
Yeah.
You know what's annoying, but you can't help yourself.
Like you have to do Birmingham. Yeah, you have to do that.
People do my accent back to me as well.
Yeah, it's...
But you see, they hear this kind of Cork, Kerry, up and down kind of Southern Ireland thing, whereas mine basically speaks to long-term unemployment and mass migration, doesn't it? That's what I think it is. Anyway.
It's a lovely accent, Neil. We'll be hearing more of it through to 11 o'clock this morning on Absolute Radio. Jason
Manford.
Just talking about accents before, and sometimes when you're walking around Belfast, people come up to you, and it is one of the places I have to occasionally go, so what? Like, just the first time when they're really fast as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm trained as well. Like, I had a teacher from Belfast, and I remember there was a moment at school where we were going on a school trip, and he stood in front of us and he was telling us all the things that we'd need to pack for this school trip. And there's like, I don't know, 400 kids, and we're all like eight. We're all looking at him, and he goes, "And you need to pack a towel." And we've never left Manchester. These kids we're like a working class town. We've never left Manchester. We've got my Irish uncles, whatever. I've got Dublin uncles, whatever. But you need to pack a towel. We were like, what? Like, genuinely, what did he just say? You'll need to pack a towel. For about 5 minutes, it was the most excruciating. People were like, what is he saying? And even when he slowed it down, he was like, pack a towel. A towel. We were like, what is a towel? And another teacher had to come on and go, towel. He means towel, lads.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty awkward.
I once went to the Belfast Giants, the ice hockey team here. And it's weird because it's such an Americanized kind of atmosphere, you know, so they're all like firing teacher cannons and all that sort of stuff. And then every so often the guy will give it up for somebody in that seat there. And then every so often he'd just slip into Belfast, number idiot. It'd be the exact same thing as well. And shoot. And a word that sounds very bad are the same in a Belfast accent.
Of course, yes.
Because there's a guy behind me and he's just going,
right, yes, of course.
Shit.
Well, I had a similar thing actually at Disney on Ice recently.
Okay.
Where in the new Toy Story film, the new character is called Forky.
Right.
And when my 4-year-old has stood, that's her favourite character, actually on a seat, just giving it, Forky! Forky! And there's people turning around like, I'm like, it's the character, guys. She's not a 4-year-old, like, docker.
She's a docker, yeah. Wow, she's a stevedore. This is amazing. He really wants his kids to just, you know, stick to their roots, and this white-collar nonsense. She's unloading stuff down the dock.
That was pretty hairy. But I think there's certain accents, like my accent, if I'm talking to somebody for quite a long time or hanging around with someone for a long time, I'll start to copy little words and phrases that they will say and do. I'm a bit malleable like that.
Do you have words that get you into the accent?
Yes. Like, for example, at the moment I'm doing a show where I'm playing a guy from Boston.
Right.
So Massachusetts, like, not Lincolnshire. And
that's park the car in Harvard Yard.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So it's park the car in the Harvard car.
That's where you're like, in the show.
So that's, I say that a few times before I go out.
I did a show about Vikings.
Right,
and
okay.
And I checked something with Sarah Millican, because one of the first Viking raids ever recorded is in Lindisfarne Monastery, just north of Newcastle.
Okay.
So the Vikings came in and the monks there going, oh no, a load of Vikings. And I had to practice that. And I said, is that okay? And she goes, yeah, that's okay.
You'll get away with
that. That's the only thing I can do.
I love how many different accents we have in the UK. And I love how strong they are. Like, I always think, like, even like Belfast, that, you know, accent, or Glasgow accent, like, you could be basically live here, and Dublin actually to a certain extent, you could basically live there for the first 4 months of your life and then move, and then maybe the plane gets lost in the jungle, and then at 40, the rescuers come in and you're like, where have you been? Like, yeah. You've still got that accent.
I like the way certain people don't change at all, and then certain people go to America for a week and then come back with full on vocal fry from LA. Yeah. You're from Burnley, what are you doing?
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Have a listen and have a laugh. Chris, if you could leave the room.
I knew this was happening.
We're going to have go.
We're going to have a little go of Mr. and Mrs.
Yes.
There we go. There's the music and everything. Got there eventually. So Chris has left. I'm going to see how well Chris and Rosie Ramsey know each other.
Oh gosh.
Okay. So, are you feeling confident?
No.
No.
Not at all. I mean, well, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, he's on tour a lot.
We're like a part-time couple, that's what it is.
That's why it works.
Yeah, that's why we still love each other. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start with an easy one. Uh-huh. What is Chris's worst habit? What do you think he would say?
He asks me if I'm okay all the time.
Okay. And what would you say your worst habit is?
Oh, my goodness.
He would reckon your worst habit is.
Oh, my gosh, I really don't know.
You have no flaws.
No, I ask him what he wants for dinner first thing in the morning.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That might be up there.
That might be up there. Okay, let's see. All right. What's Chris scared of? Is he scared of anything?
He's scared of something happening to Robin. I know,
okay.
that's really deep.
Like,
I don't mean
child.
Like that.
Yeah.
But
okay.
He's like, he's really... It sometimes gets like a thought in his head and he's like... Ugh,
yeah, the brain about, does
yes.
play weird tricks on you, doesn't
that's
it?
Probably
as a parent,
his.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is an odd... I think that's evolution, that. I think your brain
sometimes
goes...
I think he's meant
goes,
to, yeah.
Yeah, your brain goes, this is the worst thing that can happen. Let's have a think about this for a
yes.
sec.
Yes. But he does it a lot more than yeah. usual people.
Fair enough. And are you scared of anything that he would know of?
I am. I'm terrified of heights.
Heights, mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Let's go. Who do you reckon Chris would say would play a movie of him... the part of him in the movie of his life?
Oh, God, he'd probably be arrogant and say something like Brad Pitt or something.
Not a Bradley Cooper or a who else is good looking? Ryan Reynolds or...
No.
You think of Brad Pitt?
Well, he'd say that. I mean, that is not my opinion. Let's just put that...
Who would you say? Who would you think?
Gosh. Like, Rob Sinez, but that blow. No, I'm
no okay, let's have a factual one then. Mm. When and where did you go for your first date?
We went to the Malmaison in Newcastle.
Malmaison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when was that? Do you remember the year?
It was 2013 or 14. Oh, gosh, I don't even know.
You don't even know?
I don't even know. 2013.
Well, you said 6 years before, nearly 7 years. So that would be 2012?
12.
Do we think?
Yeah.
Olympic year?
Was it?
Was that Olympics?
I mean, I don't remember the years by what sport and event was on, Jason.
So it's just me. It wasn't London, though. It was a big one.
Oh, yes, it was.
I don't just mean... Yeah, the Olympics was that year. I mean, it was like the biggest one for us because it was here. That's what I meant to say.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, you remember.
It was November.
Okay, November. Mm-hmm. You remember November 2012. We reckon. Olympic year. All right. Well, we will find out very shortly how well you know each other in our little Absolute Radio, Mr. and Mrs. Jason.
Absolute Radio.
Manford.
Where real music matters.
We're playing a little game of Mr. and Mrs. That's what we're doing.
Oh, there's a jingle, I didn't...
Yeah, we've got...
I was out the room.
Mr. and Mrs. There was words and everything, I think, back in the day. These are the questions. Let's see how well Chris does, and how well Rosie knows Chris. Oh. So the first question I asked was, what would you say Rosie's worst habit is?
Worst habit? Oh, how long is this section? How long have we got? I don't know. We mentioned the crisp thing. It may be the crisp thing. I'm not sure, but it could be. It's either clomping around the house really loud or saying the bin stinks.
Okay, it's neither of those
things. Wasn't any of them things,
leaving the clothes
thank
on the floor
you.
After the bath.
Wasn't that either?
Oh, okay.
Wow. Do you want to list anymore?
I've left me workings on the subject back at the hotel, but I have got...
I mean, our show finishes at 11, but I feel like this might continue.
This will be taken home.
Oh, what was it? Oh, do I find out at the end?
Well, she said that her worst habit was asking what you want for your dinner in the morning.
Right, okay. Yeah, it's up there. Yeah.
But at the end, but with that, if that's the worst thing, at the end of the day, you're getting dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Good point.
So it's still a good thing. What do you reckon she thinks your worst habit is?
Burping when we cuddle.
Wow. What, like she's winding you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. I didn't even mention that one.
Oh, okay.
That's worse than the one you said.
Oh, I know what it is. I keep asking if she's all right.
Yeah, that's right. Well done. Right, let's do... We'll do a second one and then we'll go into our songs. So what is... what did Rosie say you are most scared of?
Most scared of?
Yeah.
Is it getting grease on us?
Wow.
No, but that is very irritating.
Couldn't be further from what she said. Rosie really took the show into a very serious sort of like heartfelt area.
Oh, is there anything happening to you or Robin?
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. That's it, you see? He's grim as hell, man.
But worse than that is getting a bit of grease on me.
You know when your kids have their full hand in a pack of crisps and they go and touch your face and you're like, I'll chop it off.
I can see how that would be annoying.
Yeah.
That's amazing how wrong that was. What about Rosie? What's Rosie most scared of?
Oh, most scared of. Oh, is it the same? Is it something happening to Robin or is it rats?
No. I mean, no.
Well, that greasy rat.
Yeah. That's the one.
They're all pretty greasy.
Yeah. It was heights.
Heights, of course.
You don't know me at all.
I've done all. Chris Ramsey, nice to meet you. How are you doing?
This is not going well, guys. Stick around.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Chris Ramsey and his wife, Rosie Ramsey, are here. We've been trying to play Mr. and Mrs. It's not gone. Oh, right, we're going to do that. Okay. We'll put the music back in. It's not been going brilliantly, I would say.
No.
Not 50, too bad.
50% hit rate with two questions.
But we're more afraid of Greece than something happening to our family. Yep. But other than that. Okay, I asked Rosie who you would think should play you in the movie of your life.
Oh, man. Oh, who have you said for this?
Who do you think, though? That's a question.
That's the question.
Who do I think? Well, I mean, what age? There's so many. This is.
Well, it could be in the future. It could be the end of your life. Could be the middle of your life.
Would play me? I don't know how you've gone on this. You've either insulted us or you've bigged us up. I don't know which way you've gone.
Well, I went both ways.
Right, brilliant.
Yeah, I did a nice one and an awful one.
Yeah, she managed to insult you in a.
Oh,
nice
I've got
way.
No idea here. I don't know.
Don't
I
know.
Don't know. Nah, who? Nah.
Just pick one. Oh, loads to choose from.
I know your favourite artist, James McAvoy, so he'll have said that if you were. There we go.
He wouldn't do
never that.
He wouldn't lower himself to do that part.
He's an extremely talented
McAvoy
actor.
McAvoy trying to get into character.
Good
so,
Lord.
How afraid of Greece is he?
Oh, I've been done here, haven't I? Oh, I don't know. The kid from Kingsman? I don't know.
Well, you said Brad Pitt.
Oh, what?
I said you would say Brad Pitt.
You would say Brad Pitt.
I would not have said Brad Pitt.
And but your actual answer was the fella who plays Rab C. Nesbitt, which I thought was a bit harsh.
Do you remember him? The vest and the
Can't believe it.
Do
you know what? In Love Actually, as the agent, he's actually kind of good. So I'll take that as a win.
But I meant as Rab C.
And the last one I said was a factual question. Uh-huh. When and where did you go for your first date?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Malmaison Hotel.
Yes.
Nice.
And Gusto in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, we had food as well.
Little bit of a... Oh, I see, the Malmaison Hotel was literally...
Drinks.
I was like, crikey.
Room. No, it was the bar.
Oh, I see. I was like, wow. This is more revealing than I thought it was going to be.
Go hard or go home.
And then Gusto.
Yeah.
Like, right, we've had the room. Let's go get something to eat.
No, it was the Malmaison with Gusto.
Oh, I see.
They're next door to each other.
And when was it? Do you remember when?
It was 2012. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the November or something.
Oh my goodness.
See? Dates were good on.
He's good.
Yeah.
Struggled a little bit.
I did.
On
really?
The dates.
Yeah.
She said November, but she wasn't sure if it was 2012 or 13.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people going on at that time.
Yeah. Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. I'm having a problem with ants at the moment.
Oh yeah.
Got an infestation of ants. Can't find where they're coming from.
Mm.
They just keep coming in the house.
What are you doing? Just shouting at them?
Yeah. No, I'm nasty.
You're going for it, are you?
I'm horrible, mate.
Not water and all that
stuff. I started off just asking them to
politely,
leave.
Politely.
Yeah, just like, guys,
come on.
Come on,
their party's over.
This is bang out of order.
What is this, a skins party? Facebook.
They're remarkably strong, the ant.
Yeah.
I think, is it something like 20 times the body weight or something?
Again, though, ants are creepy, but when you see them carrying something...
That's what they're doing.
When they're carrying something, you're like, what's
but
that?
But like something normal.
Sugar, a shell? What, like a teaspoon? A crisp.
Eight of them were carrying...
Like a kettle chip.
They were just carrying this crisp out. Like they'd got the amber nectar. We've met this. This will feed us for weeks.
Maybe they think, no, that'll be like a roof to their house or something. We'll have this on the roof.
Wait till the Queen sees this. Your Majesty, we have brought you a crisp.
Salt and vinegar. Cider vinegar.
So I'm having this problem with the old ants, and it's getting to be like obsession level.
Yeah.
Like my wife's getting to a point where she's like, just let it go.
Yeah.
She's actually like, if anything, they clean up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, they're moving them crisps out of the way, aren't they?
She's like, well, why is the crisp on the floor in the first place?
Yeah, yeah.
So just leave them. Yeah. And like, but they'll take anything. A dead fly they took the other week. It was a fly. Just
recyclers.
And it just took it out. And
upscaling,
my wife,
everything.
Yeah. My wife was just like, well, just leave it. We were only going to throw the fly out.
Yeah.
At some point.
I wanted to keep that fly. Are you meant to sort
fly
of...
Fly tipping.
Fly tipping.
I would have had to get rid of it.
That's what
they're doing. Yeah. So I am... So in the end, I thought, in the end, I've had to get like little traps and stuff like that. And
little traps?
not like a mouse trap.
How did you get the spring back? Got one. Little click in the night, 50 of them.
Not a trap.
Not a trap.
Not like a little
tiny
bit
of cheese. You put a crisp inside.
Yeah.
Or a fly. As bait.
No, like, I think it's poison.
Right.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. And then they take it back and have to get, I know.
Yeah, Queen, I got your present. Why is it? No, it's all right. I've looked into it, honestly.
No,
don't open it.
Don't eat the poison. But at least I think that's a bit more humane than my dad. When we had ants as a kid, not like pets, like they used to come in. Every summer we used to get them all over. But there was a lot more sugar back then.
Yeah, that's what they're after, isn't
it? You don't use sugar now, do you? No one puts like 2 spoonfuls of sugar on
it. No, it's not just lying around, is it?
No. So I used to come in, and I remember coming down, my dad got obsessed with it. Come downstairs one morning before school, my dad had been up for 3 hours, like air up there, and just in his boxer shorts in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I said, and he had a hot kettle of water.
Oh, God, he gone for that one.
Yeah. I said, what are you doing? He went, ants. The ants.
They're at the back.
Have you been asleep at all tonight?
No, I don't sleep anymore.
I can hear them scratching.
I can hear the traps going off. And he, this is what my dad used to do, right? Kettle of water, right? I said, what's your system, Dad? Kettle of water. Pff. He said, I take about 70% out straight away, like napalm. Yeah, gone, right? Yeah, course, yeah. He said, then what I do is I get the spoon. Get a spoon. Yeah, you heard. Yeah. I get a spoon and I start whacking them. I start whacking the ones that are left, right? And he says,
an awful scene, isn't it?
Awful, isn't it?
For the one that survived, he goes back to the queen.
This is my plan. Yeah. This is my dad's plan. He goes, he's whacking them. And then he says, I leave about 10%. Oh. The ones who've witnessed the massacre of their people.
So they go back and go, don't go back in there. It's awful.
Don't go in number 28. He's a psychopath.
He burned them all out and he started whacking them with spoons. Oh, yeah. No, that's a good...
No crisp is worth it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that was what he used to do. But that was the '80s. You could get, you know, you were out with kids. Then.
The logic of ants might be like, is that what they're doing? Right, this time we go mob-handed. And they go in,
get the wood lice.
Might be the one. Grab something weird on your back, freak them out.
This is Jason Manford.
This is
Music Matters.
So after the show today, me and Steve are off camping for a couple of days. What have you prepared? What have you packed?
I haven't packed anything yet.
You're not packed?
No.
So we've got to go back to yours and pack?
I've just got to grab a jumper and a pair of shorts. It's just 2 days, isn't it?
I've packed. Look, I've got my stuff there in the corner.
Most of that's marshmallow.
There is a lot of marshmallows. I found giant ones.
How many people you think going camping with?
I found giant marshmallows.
Four in a bag. That's how big they are.
Proper Costco job, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, although I got them from Selfridges. Well, nice. I got some walking boots.
Oh, that's what I'll get. That's all you need, walking boots, pair of shorts, big jumper.
Yeah, and I've got jumper and stuff like that in my other bag there. And just
got a penknife?
No, I've not got a penknife.
We might need one for something. I don't know what. Some sort of bushcraft.
Yeah, bushcraft.
We might have to craft a spear or something, or a leather pouch to carry our weapons in.
Well, I did
this
say...
This is a computer game.
Yes. I texted Steve the other day and I said, should we do a bit of a shop? You know, for because obviously we're going camping and there won't be a restaurant there. And Steve messaged back to say, we will eat what we kill.
Yeah.
Which I'm worried about.
Well, you know, what I mean is we'll go via a little shop.
Yes.
Like a farm shop. That'll be a farm shop. I'm not killing
that's
anything.
That's fine. I might kill a Kit Kat then.
You kill a Kit Kat chunky.
That's what I might do. What do you call me chunky for, you cheeky cat? I am looking forward to it. I brought a pack of cards.
Yeah.
I thought we'd play cards.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good thing to do. I've also brought some colouring in.
Sounds a bit of a sort of solo activity.
Yeah, but I figure we're not gonna be 100% like right in each other's face for 2 days.
No, you're gonna be sat in the corner colouring in by candlelight.
Yeah.
All right, Jay.
I'm just
colouring in this.
Started colouring in.
Have you?
Mm. A little thing I do in the afternoon.
Is it relaxing?
Yeah, it is actually. Sort of. Your brain just sort of switches off a little
bit. I've got jigsaws, and I do jigsaws.
You do like a jigsaw?
I like a jigsaw. Well, same thing, though. It's a similar thing. It's very similar.
Let's buy a jigsaw, then.
Yeah, okay.
What piece are you at?
What, how many?
Yeah.
1,000.
1,000 pieces.
1,000.
Yeah.
It's got to be a Ravensburger, though. You can't mess with any of them.
Yeah, yeah. They're
you
the
don't
only...
bother with any Gibsons. And...
No.
It's got to be a Ravensburger.
We've got a cracking one in... on the go at the moment.
Have you?
Yeah, but it's beautiful, different.
You know when you see it in the shop, animals. When you go, I'll get one, and then you look at the sky and you go, that's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, all
just
the same
point
colour.
At a bit of sky.
Yeah, no.
Sydney Opera House I did once. Oof. Imagine that. Oh, look, there's a bit of the ridge on the top. There's 7 of them.
Yeah, that's not good. But I've actually been, I very rarely get...
What sort of colouring, what sort of stuff
so
is it?
So I've got it's like an adult's colouring book.
Right, okay.
No, not an adult's one. It's not naked women. Yeah. No. I got a message from Rob Deb. I say message, an actual letter, Steve.
Oh, that's nice.
Nobody writes letters
anymore.
No,
but you read it, don't you? If you get a letter, you read it.
I have actually properly read it. He says, hello, Jason. I hope you have a great run of gigs. This was a couple of weeks ago. And this is a little gift, I hope, that helps you relax, as your story of colouring in moved me last Sunday. And I felt Justin Morehouse, who was my guest at the time, was way too judgmental. So I just wanted to take this moment to thank you for making Sundays a little bit brighter as I slog around whenever possible to get some exercise. Justin is ignoring the health benefits of colouring in.
Right,
you heard.
What are the health benefits?
Well, Rob here says, this time last year I was 150 kilos. That's 24 stone.
Yeah.
Real money.
Was he eating the crayons?
Well, he said, I had a blood pressure of 168 over 119, which is not very good.
No, it didn't sound good.
As I write this, I'm actually down to a svelte 100 kilos. That's 15 stone. He's lost 9 stone.
Wow.
Colouring in.
Really?
I mean, it's bigger.
Is he doing it while he's running?
He says, each Sunday I try and do a few laps around Clapham Common. That is running.
Yeah.
And he listens to the show. He says, I listen to the show in that time. As much as the exercise has been important, it has, and it sounds toppy, been emotional as well over the years. And things like colouring in the afternoon when I'm back in have helped maintain a calmer lifestyle.
Well, I can
and
see that.
Massively
I can see that.
Contributed to my well-being. My blood pressure is now 137 over 95. Still not great, but improving. I try and treat life as a sort of anti-Pac-Man, avoiding as many pills as possible. So what he's done is actually delivered a colouring book, a die-hard colouring book.
Die-hard colouring book?
Yeah.
Open it up. Let's have a look in.
Yeah, so you can actually like do a full...
wow, what's that bit?
John McClane.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Sort of sticking out the window. Welcome to the party, pal!
Yeah, nice.
And you get to colour it in.
Tony Plaza. That's a lot of colouring in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, look at that. He's got no face on that one. But
you can do whatever you want there.
Yeah.
You?
Might draw you.
Yeah, go on.
So that's what I'll be doing. Colouring in.
Nice.
It's the future.
Yeah. Jason
Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
On Facebook this week, I saw a video came up of Gordon Ramsay, and he did a show a little while back for ITV. I think it was actually called Gordon Ramsay on Cocaine, which is a terrible title.
Yeah.
He went into his own restaurants.
Wow.
And there's these wipes that they can use, and you wipe the side, and if it's got blue on it, there's been cocaine on the...
On that worktop or
worktop,
wherever.
Yeah. He went into the staff toilets, and in the staff toilets, men's and women's, there'd been
drug
traces
use.
Of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was furious.
Well...
Not just about the cocaine use by his staff, but because of the particular day they'd chosen to do it.
That blue speck there is a positive test. Cocaine has been used today, and this is on a day that they shouldn't be doing coke. It's Sunday.
It's a Sunday, mate.
Oh, that's the day of rest.
It's
for
a
the
Sunday,
cocaine,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's Coke Wednesdays, isn't it? It's Coke Wednesdays.
Wednesdays,
mate. You know, orange Wednesdays,
yeah.
Coke Thursdays.
Yeah, Coke Thursdays. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
This is a day that they shouldn't be doing it.
That's not on a Sunday.
That's all days.
You'll be washing your car.
You shouldn't be doing
it at speed.
Oh my god! Have you done that
car's
car?
Done. Yeah. Any other cars that can be done?
I've done all the cars.
Done all the cars. Why have I done all the cars? Why have you done all the cars? Stop looking at me.
Oh man! Come
wow.
on.
Wow.
Yeah. That's mad, isn't it?
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday. That was the bit he was almost...
Was that in a restaurant?
In his own restaurant,
maybe
yeah.
Sunday lunch he was thinking of. That's the one day that, you know, you got Yorkshire puddings to do. There's a lot to
There's a lot going
crack
on.
Crack on with.
Don't do them, kids. On any day.
No.
Especially Sundays.
Especially Sundays.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters. So I had a slight embarrassing moment this week, Steve.
Go on.
I've not told you this yet, but I got a taxi last week.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Uber. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was
apology accepted.
Thank
I'm
you.
Fine with it.
Thank you. I'm just, you know, if I just needed a taxi near where I was. Look, let's not get into it, guys. Okay. I get a black cab a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Anyway, so get in there, and I'm sat in the back, and you know they're all on Apple, aren't they? They're all using iPhones and stuff for their maps. So my battery was going, so I said, "Oh, can I use your wire, mate?" And he went, "Yeah, fine." So I plugged it in, and he was about 60, like in his sort of mid to late 60s, like quite a stocky guy, African guy, very quiet, and I was sat in the back, and I'd plugged my phone. Anyway, so sort of. Daydreaming a little bit, looking out the window, and he sort of got. I could hear sort of music on his coming through his radio, and I was sort of not really listening. And then I thought, oh, I know this song, and it was like an old Irish song, like that my gran used to sing. I was like, and I said, hey mate, I said, mate,
I said, my nana used to sing this song.
This song, yeah.
He went, mm-hmm, okay. And I was like,
nothing.
Right, okay, fine. Okay, like, fine. All right, fine. Anyway, carried on. Looking out the window. Song from the producers came on. Like, the full-on song from the producers, right? Yeah. Gone for it. Like, yeah. Full-on showbiz song. I said, hey. I said, mate, I was in this. I actually toured with this.
Yeah.
I toured the whole...
This, I did... I know
the
this,
whole
this
UK.
Song, yeah,
this
yeah.
is springtime.
Wow, boy. This I is said, amazing.
I thought he went, okay. I was like...
Okay, what is wrong with
what's
this
What's wrong
man?
With this guy? No connection at all.
No.
Right. So I'm like, this playlist is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Get to the next song. It's from my album.
Wow.
My
this
album.
This guy is a big fan.
This guy is on it.
Maybe
said,
that's why he's so quiet. You know, he didn't know what to say.
I said,
or...
this is me.
This is me. See that? I'm the singing. Said, that's me singing.
On
this, I'll
the
do it now. I'll do it.
Where
do
you live. That's me from My Fair Lady. I chose that song because I just loved it. It's one
All
of
right, mate.
Granddad's favourite song. He's like, okay. And then I went to send a quick text. And when I looked at my phone.
Yeah. Did he go
my
through the when he sent the text whoop, through the Uber speakers?
He was playing my playlist.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't
my
it?
My phone.
Yeah,
and obviously I must have sounded like a mental case.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, mate. My nana used to sing this.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Like, so great. Thanks for letting me know what's
I was in
playing.
This show. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brilliant. That's
this
fantastic.
Is me singing.
Yeah.
Why are you showing off in my taxi?
Your Uber rate is gonna plummet.
In embarrassment, I unplugged it, but I should have ridden it out.
I should have just ridden it, yeah.
Just carried
also,
on.
Notes would have come on. Idea for a new show.
I had this exact same idea for a show.
Just woke up really weird dream as aliens.
I had this dream.
Do you know, it's actually not about the summer of 69, this.
Yeah.
We chatted about it. That's me chatting about it.
Where real music matters.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's Jason Manford here. I am very much like you, stuffing my face with mince pies, drinking the rest of the book's fizz and so on. So please don't text in. I've handpicked some of my favourite bits of the last 12 months. Have a listen and have a laugh.
So I went to cinema last night and you say, why, Jace? Why? Because if you listen to the show regularly, you will know I hate the cinema.
Why did you go then?
Because I had a night off. Because I forget every time. Because every so often what happens is I go to cinema and I go, God, I hate this cinema. And then I forget about it for ages. Like for months. I sort of get to a point and then I forget about it. And we're sort of, me and the girlfriend were sort of like, oh, what should we do tonight? And she'll go, what about cinema? And I go, oh, yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah, sounds nice.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I like films. But then you forget. It's not, the cinema's got nothing to do with films. Nothing to do with films. Let me tell you that
now. Sure, you're going to the cinema.
Yeah, I'm worried about this. Are you going to David Lloyd or something?
I'm
trying to watch a film
and
there's people swimming. Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly why I hate the cinema. Other people.
Oh, okay.
What is wrong with them?
Well,
why? What is wrong with other people? Come on, there's some words I'm thinking of right now. Last night,
a vein just come out your head.
Last night, right, we're 10 minutes into this film. I look along the row, Steve, and there's a girl Snapchatting her bloody nachos. Snapchatting her nachos.
I'm not sending a Snapchat to her nacho.
No, took a full flash.
A
boom.
Flash.
With the flash on.
Jump with the flash. In the middle of the film, or was it during the trailers?
Do you know what, Steve? I'm actually calm about
Free
the trailers.
Free for all. Do what you want.
I'm like, I have a phone call.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered in the trailers.
Oh, no.
No, I know, but I've had to. I mean, it's not ideal, Laura, don't get me wrong. But as a sort of, you know, middle ground,
this
look
is
fine.
What your therapist
I get
told
it.
You to yeah.
I get it. You're a very important person and you need to take phone calls. I understand.
What
you're a doctor
film
or whatever.
Were you watching? Was it like the 4D experience?
No, ironically, it was called Get Out.
Oh.
And that's exactly what I wanted to say to this girl. Mm.
Yeah.
Get Out was a brilliant film. I've actually seen it twice. It's that good. Mm. And
not the cinema twice.
I went to the cinema twice.
Did you go to a different cinema?
No, see,
go...
the first time I went, I did the thing that I usually do. I went in the day when nobody goes.
Yeah.
I went in the day.
Yeah.
And it was calm and there was hardly anyone there and it was fine. But this one was Saturday night, Westfield, White City.
Oh, come on. You're your own worst enemy.
I am.
It was an absolute ruddy nightmare.
We used to go to the sort of, we used to call it the cinema on the edge of the earth.
Yeah.
Like no one was ever there.
The showcase on Hyde Road.
Hyde Road, yeah, in Manchester.
In Manchester,
we walked out of two films. There's something great about walking out of a film.
Yeah.
This is awful.
Have you walked out of a lot of films?
We walked out of a couple.
We have, yeah.
Knocked up,
yeah.
Why did you walk in?
Because he went, let's go to the cinema, and then obviously...
And it was middle of the day, we'd already... But once I finished my ice cream, I was like... To be honest, I've got a point in my life now where the film is very much the byproduct of me going out for Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
Do
you know what I mean? Like, the film is secondary. I'm not really bothered.
Yeah, same, for a little nap.
Yeah. Yeah,
I went on Tuesday and had Ben and Jerry's. Had a cone with two scoops, about £7.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can't. Oh. They make prices up. Yeah. They live in a bubble. They live in a bubble where you go, oh, can I get some M&M's, £4.50? You're like, okay, that's currency here.
And is it legal to bring your own sweets in? Because you're always like, I've got some in my bag.
Yeah.
Like, it's illegal. But is anybody... No one's frisking you, are they?
No, but M&Ms. I think it's frowned upon.
Ah, well, frown away.
Also,
yeah, frown yourself up, mate.
They made their own bed when they started... See, the problem with your story last night starts with the fact that somebody sold something as stinky as nachos in a cinema. Mm. Hot dogs and nachos do not belong in a confined space like that.
Well, I actually think somebody needs to re-look at the food situation at the cinema because everything is noisy.
Yeah.
Why is it, popcorn, nachos, crunchy, 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 everything's even the drinks, everything is noisy. I'd say, look, I'm full of flumps, enjoy your film.
Yeah. Glass of water, no straw.
That's you. Yeah. If you're hungry, go to a restaurant. This is the cinema. Have a bit of respect. Snapchatted. And nachos. It's not even a euphemism.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
We're talking about just when you get wound up by strangers. I had an experience last night at the cinema where a girl Snapchatted her nachos. It does sound like a euphemism every time I say it. But
yeah, doesn't it? Yeah.
I genuinely don't mean that. Mid-film, full flash... You know, just unbelievable. And I did say something, like, all the way through, like, Lucy was like, just don't say anything. I'm like, I'm going to say something. If something happens again, I'm going to say something. She kept checking her phone, full brightness. Oh, God, other people. And that's when I turned into a northern dad. I went, at one point, the phone went again, and she was like, I'm at the cinema. I actually answered the phone.
Oh.
And she was like three seats down. I went, oi, oi, like that, oi. And she turned around. I could feel Lucy like squeezing my leg, like, just shut up. And I went, pack it in. That was all I had. Pack it in.
Well, that'll do it, though, won't it?
To be fair, though, it did. It did work. And she was respectful for the rest of the film. Great film, by the way, Get Out. Get It Out, I was going to call it. That's not called Get It Out. That's a very different film. Yeah. Get It Out,
is that is a good film as well.
It's a great film, but very much...
Life's on story.
Yeah, watch by yourself. But Get Out, it's a fantastic film. I highly recommend it. Any films you've seen lately you want to recommend or not recommend?
I'm in the minority, but I was very disappointed by Guardians of the Galaxy this week.
Oh, I think you are in the minority. I've not seen it yet.
Minority.
I definitely cried, the producer, when you said it wasn't very good. He loved it that much.
Good.
I mean, you've got a baby and you've been working in Benidorm, so what's the last film you saw?
I went to see, what's it called? Kong Skull Island.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was that?
It's awful.
Awful. Great.
It's awful, but like, that's what I was after.
Yeah.
At the time, I was after that.
Yeah, you were slightly.
I was not disappointed.
Yeah, I find that with Hiddleston. So, we've got... He's my nemesis.
Breakfast TV or something. They went, what's Kong Skull Island about? And he had to try and... You know, like, he was sort of like... He finds context.
If you're ever bored, just go on YouTube and watch Tom Hiddleston interviews. He's the most cringeworthy man in the world. He's amazing. Stace's on the line. Good morning, Stace.
Morning.
How are you? Where are you calling from, Stace?
From Birmingham. I'm good, thanks. You?
Look, I'm really well. Thank you very much. What's your moment you wanted to slap a stranger in the face?
Well, there's been several incidents, but the one that stands out the most is the guy that decided about 20 minutes in the film to have a full-on sleeping session and snore us out of the film.
Livid. What film was it?
Livid. I think it was the Mel Gibson one about his daughter getting kidnapped or something, I think it was.
All right.
But I thought, well, if I go and wake him up, he's going to wake up in a nightmare because I'm going to, like, make sure he doesn't want to wake up again.
Right.
So when I got, I had to get up mid-film and go and get somebody from the front desk and go, don't wake him up now.
So what is what is the point of the staff at the cinema? Now, I used to work in a cinema, but I used to work in box office, so I never... But you've got the people patrolling, but they never seem to come in, do they?
Do they patrol anymore?
Yeah. That's the problem.
They used to, didn't they?
Yeah, why don't they come in?
Torch.
flashlight, all right, mate.
You had the bagels with it.
Every 20 minutes, why don't they just come in and check everything's all right, and then you can...
Because they've got a torch as well, so that would sort of disturb people, wouldn't it?
Or trapdoor. Chairs.
That's a good idea.
So if someone's messing about, just whoop, button from the controller. Yeah, hold on. Run through the floor.
Oh, go on, Steve's got a better idea.
Trapdoor chairs, and you've all got a pin.
Yes.
You can type in. So more than 10 people are annoyed by that person. Boom.
Gone.
Into the lions and the snakes
exactly
and the alligators.
And
that's
what's
there now, yeah?
That cruel. You could have the film showing in a room underneath.
No.
But that's just the difference.
No, Laura, you're too Brighton. You're too liberal and you're too Brighton. That person is dead to us now.
And to everyone else.
And they're in some sort of dungeon. Stacey, what do you think about that, Stacey, if that's an idea for the future?
I do agree with it. Some form of mechanism to wake them up, definitely. Because what's the point in us paying all that money for the film? You're just going to go in there and chat.
So you reckon actually more some sort of electrocution?
treatment.
For the ones that haven't got the cellar underneath.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Or you could go straight through the roof and then just leave them really high up. No matter what the weather,
They
have to sit there for the remaining 2 hours.
I like it. I don't know if it's windy there, Stace, or if you're just a heavy breather.
No, it's beautiful, sunny. It's not windy. I'm
all right.
In the car.
Oh,
so,
fair enough.
Definitely not.
Right, thanks for ringing, Stace.
You're welcome.
See you, my love.
Day.
Have a lovely day. Bye. Take care.
This is
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.